Mark chapter number 1, and let's read verse number 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was clean. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I just want to talk about the Master today. Praise God. Amen. Let's just talk about the Master this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation. We thank you for your mighty miracles. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you, Lord. Pray, sweet Holy Ghost, that you would help us this morning, God, that the anointed power of the Holy Ghost would reach down upon us today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's very easy to speak about the goodness of God and all that he's done for us. And the Bible teaches us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that there is nothing that is impossible for him to do. And started off that way even from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he began to work with nothing. And that he spoke the world into existence. And the things that were not became things, framing the world with his spoken words. He didn't need an electrician to bring forth any type of illumination. He just simply said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't need any type of cloning cells or anything of that nature or sort. He just simply said, let there be the cattle and the birds and every creeping thing upon the face of the earth and all of those things that would be in the sea. And it was so. He didn't need seeds to be able to plant the grass or to plant the trees. He didn't need all of that. He just simply spoke, and it was so. Amen. He didn't need a universe to be able to put all of his plan into existence. He just simply created the sun, the moon, and the stars also. Amen. He did not have to have a canvas to paint any of the beauties thereof to encapsulate all that was in his mind. He simply just used eternity. He used all of the space that was necessary, and he created it. Beyond what man can imagine, beyond what man can find, what telescopes and what space shuttles and what satellites have been able to go off into some far in orbit, our Lord has created beyond all of those capacities, the capacity that man has, that the abilities to conjure up to get beyond different galaxies. Amen. They still run into the creation of God. Amen. Just because that we cannot see it does not mean that it has not been created. Man for so long has been trying to figure out whether there is life on Mars or not. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there is, but I'll just simply say if there would be life on Mars or if there would be life on some other foreign planet, God created it. Amen. Before we were ever able to get there to figure it out and to find out. Before scientists were able to begin to put their laws into place, amen, all of their laws were based upon the fundamentals of God. Kepler's law of motion is based upon, amen, the factual realities of God. Amen. The law of gravity is based upon God's abilities. Amen. Everything is based upon God. Amen. How long did it take man to figure out the speed of light? And if I could just paint it today, I would say that God said, "Let there be light." And then just like any other little boy, probably flicked it, and there it went. And it traveled so quick, and it lit up the world. Praise God. Amen. What has mesmerized and what has arrested the attention of mankind, and how that the stars hang in place, and how that the planets orbit around the sun, and how that the moon has its orbit and rotation around this planet called Earth, has mesmerized them and has cost taxpayers thousands upon thousands, if not millions upon millions of dollars, amen, to try to understand things. Amen. It was just simply an idea for God. Praise God. And what they have put their mind to study forth and to come to the conclusion just within a few years to state that their conclusion was wrong because there is some type of idiosyncrasy involved in it, because that there is something that just doesn't correctly add up together, and they've got to adjust their speculation or adjust their formulas. I believe that there is a God that is up in heaven that just simply looks down upon the foolishness of mankind and just smiles. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In high school, I took every math that the school offered at that particular time, and I took the pre-algebras early and entered into Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 early, and so therefore I didn't even have a math class my senior year, or I would have taken it, but they didn't offer it. But by that time I had already taken calculus and trigonometry, and I don't remember how to do any of it, so don't worry about that. But I remember just simply thinking as I sat, not bragging, but I sat right there in the first chair, and shared it sometimes with the to be valedictorian or salutatorian. I did not graduate valedictorian or salutatorian, but nevertheless, there was something about my math that I just have to say I accepted. And I sat there in that chair as the teacher began to put all of the different equations and stuff upon that board and began to teach. And as he said the simple things of geometry, such as a squared plus b squared equals c squared, in my mind, it was simple. Just simply because somebody's already proven it. I don't have to prove it. I just have to take it as fact. But I remember the lady, the young girl that was sitting behind me who would become the valedictorian, and how that she was trying to wrap her mind around why a squared plus b squared equals c squared. And as the teacher began to try to tell everything, and I sat there basically acting bored, because I was bored. I simply accepted the fact. And they wanted to be able to prove it. They wanted to know why. And I remember turning to them and I said, "What's the big deal? Somebody's already proven it. Just use it." And my mind has often thought about that with all of the scientists that we have in our day and age, and how that they are trying to prove what God has already established. It is there. It is there. And we don't have to understand why. We just have to use it. Hear me this morning. I'm not going to be long. Amen. But I remember walking on to multi-million dollar projects where there is nothing but red iron up, and there is a concrete pad that is out there and that is poured. Many of you will not understand this. Brother Doug probably does. But I would walk up to the general contractor and I would simply ask him, "What are my control lines?" And he would go to the prince and he would take the print and he would flip it open to that page. And he would say, right here is column line 2. And right here is column line F. And off of column line 2, you have a 2-foot offset that is out there on the ground. And off of column line F, there is a 2-foot offset. And I would lay out that entire building. All of the rooms, all of the hallways, everything. I would lay out that building off of that 2-foot offset of column line 2 or F, whatever that it was. It's not necessary to understand that. Amen. But sometimes I would walk in and I would ask the general contractor, do you have control lines on the floor yet? And he would say, no. He said, but if you'll go out there, he said, I'll send you out there with a guy and we'll bring the transit out there and we'll get them shot in. And so we would go out there and they would get the measurement that they need and they would put that up on the floor. And then they would send somebody down at the other side and they would begin to dial it in. And they would begin, as you put that pencil or whatever it is on the floor, and they would sit here and tell you this way, just a little bit more, just a little bit. Nope, go back this way. Hold right there. You're good. And we'd put that mark and we would snap that line out there. And it established, if I could say it like this, A squared. And then we would come off at a right angle. And some people would not know how to get that. There were some times that a general contractor would tell me, he would say, you know what, I don't have the lines out there. I could probably get to them a little bit later. And I said, how sure are you? He said, all of the columns are shot in. I said, I can get it. And I would establish that, what we're going to call the A squared line. And then back somewhere far in the recesses of my memory, in a geometry class somewhere, back possibly in 1992, there's an old formula that comes to my mind that says A squared plus B squared equals C squared. And so I would pick me a point on that line, and I would put me across, and I would measure up a distance, and that would be A squared. And then from that line to the right at a right angle, I would go out and this begin to establish my B squared line. And my B squared line, I would put a long mark because I don't know exactly where it's going to hit. And then I would go up there to the top of my mark up there. And I would pull back down this way. And where this line and this line intersected, amen, was my mark. And I could establish that mark. And that B squared line became a direct right angle to this column line. And therefore, with a right angle established, I would be able to pull all of my walls off of that. I would be able to pull the parallel walls from that line. I could establish new right angles. I could go back to the beginning and I could pull them back. And then I remember asking the general contractor, do you have an elevation line shot in? And sometimes he would tell me yes, and he would take me to that place. And he would say, this mark right here, amen, is this elevation. And from that point, I would establish all of my soffits. And I would establish all of my ceilings off of that elevation line. Because that was established. And with those two things, or with those few things established, we were able to put up walls and soffits and ceilings and do all that was necessary because something had already been established. I didn't have to go back to Miss Google and ask her, why does A squared plus B squared equal C squared? I just have to simply take to, amen, that is a fact. I don't have to understand that. I don't have to reprove that. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I just have to use it. Amen. Somebody's already invented it. That's all that I need. I'm just going to use it. Praise God. And I wonder how many people are out there today that are trying to understand the things of God. There are scientists out there today that are racking their minds, amen, that are putting pencil after pencil after pencil, amen, to tablet after tablet after tablet, amen, to draw the conclusion of I'm still scratching my head and I still don't understand. I don't understand the force of gravity. I thought that I did. I don't understand, amen, the laws of motion. to their great degree. Amen. But I thought that, you know, somebody said, amen, the laws of motion, that's pretty easy. Amen. I'm telling you, some of you may think that it's easy, and for you it may be easy, but when you really begin to look into the law of motion and see that the adverse effect, amen, and you're thinking this ground is just solid, I'm not going into all of that. But as I began to look through the three laws of motion, amen, I thought to myself, that don't even make sense. Amen. But you know what? I don't have to make sense out of it. Amen. It's just there, and I use it. And so I cannot explain to you how that God is able to say, let there be light, and there is light. I cannot explain to you how that he doesn't have to have cells and molecules and all of these other things. Amen. For from the dirt he created mankind. And for the scientists to try to recreate that, they need to recreate dirt first. Amen. I don't need them to tell me how that you can take dirt and create a human. Amen. I want them to tell me how you create dirt. And then when you tell me how that you can do that, I want you to tell me how that you created all of that. I don't have to know, amen, how many hundreds and thousands of miles of blood vessels are in your body. I don't have to know how many millions of cells, amen, it takes to equate up to or that are in, amen, a single 1-inch by 1-inch piece of skin. I don't have to understand, amen, the epidermis, amen, and the other layers of skin that is under that, and how that it creates protection, and how that it alleviates disease and stuff. I don't have to understand all of that. I don't have to understand white blood cells and red blood cells and antibodies. I don't have to understand platelets. I don't have to understand the power of the blood, amen, that it possesses, amen, in that it can take the dirtiness from the different areas, and how that the blood runs and picks up oxygen and then goes and delivers it to the different organs. And then as it is leaving the organs, it takes the carbon monoxide and it takes the other waste that is there, runs through the kidneys and dispels the waste from all of that, and clean, and the blood stays completely clean. I don't have to understand all of that. Amen. I read a story concerning the blood one time, and they said that it is like a trash truck, that at 5 o'clock in the morning, amen, that it goes to your house and my house, and it picks up our trash cans and dumps it in the back. Amen. And all of those flies that are in your trash can that have been there for all the whole week, and the stench and the bags, how they have leaked, and the liquids that's in there, and the rottenness, amen, and the food and all of that. And maybe even the maggots that would be in all of that. I know that sounds gross, but I'm trying to paint a picture. And how that it's all dumped in the back of that trash truck. And then that trash truck goes out to the local landfill and backs up and releases all of its load as it dumps it out. And all the liquid runs out of that, and the stench that is there, and all the flies that are about, and then it picks it up, and it sits there, and then he gets a phone call on his mobile device, and says that the meat market guy down at Steve's Meat Market needs you to run by. And he runs by, and he picks up all of that raw meat that isn't even wrapped up. And he's thinking, you know, I could put this in my cab, but you know what? I don't know. And so he throws it in the back of the truck. And it's got all of those flies on it, and it's got all of that juice, that garbage and that stench and everything that's on it. And he takes it to Dylan's. And Dylan's goes back there, and they put a clothespin on their nose, and they open it up, and they pick the meat out, and they take it over to their cellophane, amen, and to their whatever you call that, the styrofoam little plates, and they put that on there, and they wrap it with that cellophane stuff, and then they stick it out there, and they put $5.99 a pound on it. And you walk up to it, and you look at it, and you buy it, and you take it home, and you cook it, and you don't even get sick. That is the ability of the blood, in that the blood possesses the power to be able to go through and to accumulate all the waste and all the poisonous toxins that's there, dispelling them through the kidneys and doing that, and returning right back, amen, and being perfectly clean again.
I don't have to understand the power of the blood. I just know that there is a master that created it. And the Bible said that he created everything good. I don't have to understand, amen, the abilities that he possesses. I don't have to understand how that he can change the water into wine. I don't have to understand all of these things. I just simply have to know that he has the power to do so. Somebody would say, who gave him the power to be able to do this? I don't have to understand all of that. Amen. I would venture to say, and I would just tell you, nobody gave him the power. Nobody had the authority to give it. The Bible says that all power belongs to him, both in heaven and in earth. Amen. I understand and I have a firm belief that when God created everything and that when he saw the earth sitting there, amen, maybe he put his finger upon it and just gave it a little twirl and set it into motion and then just bumped it a little bit and caused it to begin to rotate around the sun. I don't have to understand the magnetic probabilities and properties of all of that other stuff, amen, to know why and how that it does it. I just accept the fact that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and when it was all said and done, God took a look at it and he said, it is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And there is an enemy that has, from the beginning of time, has been trying to bring down to diminish the power of God, to cause his abilities and his limited power to supersede the powers of God. Isaiah chapter number 14, he stated, amen, he said, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt myself above the thrones of God. I will be like the Most High. Amen. In order to exalt yourself above the thrones of God, amen, you're going to have to take authority over that. Hallelujah. And that's what the enemy has been trying to do from the beginning of time. There's not a lot that he can do to diminish the properties of the earth. He can try through pollution. He can try through other things. But nevertheless, when it came to mankind, he's used the property called sin. And he has used sin, amen, to try to deface and debase mankind in the face of God. In that we were created in his image. And the very thing that the enemy wants to do is to destroy and to mar the image of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody said, I think it was kind of ironic that when Jesus was born, he looked just like us. No, 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 no. Amen. When we were born, we looked just like him. Amen. It's just, he was manifest in the flesh. And we saw him and we beheld him. Amen. And even as John said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What was John saying? There's no other explanation. Amen. When I saw Jesus, I saw God manifest in the flesh. When I saw Jesus, I saw the glory of God beholden unto us. That's the only thing that can make sense. Hallelujah. I don't have to sit here and explain unto you a virgin birth. I don't have to explain unto you how that a spirit can take on flesh and become and walk amongst mankind. I just simply accept it. Hallelujah. But oh, there is this thing called sin that tries to divide God from his creation, from his love fest. Amen. There is this thing that is called sin that tries to divert man's mind and tries to tell man, you're not happy. You're not happy with who you are. You're not happy with what you are. Amen. And today there are people that live in this world that are not happy. There are those that have committed suicide. There are those that are contemplating suicide. There are those that live an awful and miserable life. Amen. They, you, you'll, you don't even like to be around them because they're not happy. I've got a reason why they're not happy today. They're separated from the Creator. Amen. The creature has been separated from his Creator. There is only true happiness when you're in the presence of God. There is only true happiness when you're in a love relationship with God. There is only true happiness when the creature unites back with the Creator, and the soul can then be content. Only true happiness comes when you are in love with Jesus Christ.
Praise God, praise God. I don't need to belittle this. I don't need to belinger this is what I meant to say. Amen. But understand, amen, that relationship cannot have sin involved in it. I know that there are none of us that are perfect. Amen. But the Bible teaches us that he came to save us from our sins, not in our sins. Amen. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I understand there are some times that we are overcome by a fault. But friend, don't take up residency and live in that sin. Find yourself a place to pray. Find yourself a place to repent. Find yourself a place to get right. Amen. And don't let, amen, the law of sin drag you down. Don't let the law of sin drag you away from God. Amen. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen. And so, in our text today, we find this man who the Bible calls a leper. Leprosy was a death sentence. It was a death sentence. There was no cure for leprosy. All of the lepers that was in the Old Testament, they after being pronounced to have leprosy, There was not much hope. There was no joy. There was no happiness. There was nothing. They understood that life now had its limitations. They lived under a different law. They were no longer able to do, to come and to go as they used to be able to do. They were not able to hang around family members. They were not able to, if it were a walled-in city, they were not welcome to live with inside the walls. They had to go outside. Everything that they had sacrificed for in life, the house that they had built, the home that they had accumulated, all of their possessions and stuff was left. Amen. And they were taken outside the city and they lived out there. For one that was speculated that they might have leprosy, they were put in quarantine and they were separated off over there. And then the priest would bring them in 7 days later and examine it again and see. And if he had doubts, then he could put them away again. But if he ever pronounced that it was leprous, then they would take the steps that was next to go into that. And the steps was the separation. Because leprosy being a type of sin always demands separation. Amen. And so it was going into the house. The Bible talks about fretting leprosy. The Bible talks about other kinds of leprosy there in the book of Leviticus. And they would take that and they would scrape the walls of that house and to see if the house had leprosy in it. And they would take the clothing and they would take them out and they would burn the clothes. And they would put them out. They were separated. It was a time that they looked at family and told family goodbye. And they went outside of the city. There was none of this. Number one, there was no texting. There was no social media. And they couldn't afford to get together with it being such a contagious disease. And so when they were put out, basically they knew that it was only time before they would draw their last breath. Leprosy was a defiling disease, defiling by nature. It was a very, very filthy disease. It was not anything that was pretty. There was nothing pretty about leprosy. As leprosy began to progress with inside of an individual, the first things that would begin to go was all of the cartilage that was inside of that body. And so the nose would basically eat away and would be gone. Their ears would soon fall off, and they would just have nubs where their ears were. Their nose would disappear, and their hair would become very, very stiff and would fall out, and we'd be very, very brindle. And they would have scabs all over their bodies and such. And then it would begin to eat down from joint to joint to joint, and parts of their fingers would fall off, and their tongue would swell up horrendously to where they really couldn't even speak, and it would be covered in ulcers and lacerated, and deep cuts in their skin would ooze pus out of it. It was nothing that you wanted your kids to be around to even see. And more than really being proclaimed to be a disease, it was that they were proclaimed to be unclean. And so they were to take some type of napkin or such, and they were to cover their face when they was in the vicinity of different people. In areas and cities where there were no walls, they would go throughout the place. But by law, they would have to cover their face, and they would have to scream out or yell out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And it would cause everybody to get to the other side of the road and to walk away. Moms would grab their kids and pull them in close and say, "Don't go around that man. He is unclean. And you see that man, you see what he's like, you'll become like that man if you get around that man." Leprosy was a type of sin. It was a type of sin. And you know, I wish today that we would have that same mindset against sin that back in those days they had against even leprosy. But today, when it comes to sin, it's how close can we get and not catch it? How close can we get? How much can we fellowship with it before we are considered sinners? How much can I ingest of it before I become unclean myself? Amen. And so here is a man. Here is a man that is a leper. In the book of Luke, the Bible calls him that he was full of leprosy. Mark just said that he was a leper. Full of leprosy means that it has progressed to a great degree. So he's probably already missing his nose and his ears and other cartilage that would be in his body. Missing a few fingers and probably all of his hair is gone. And so he is a very ugly, nasty looking individual. And this man comes up to Jesus. And he says in the text, he looks at the Lord, and knowing him, he says, "If thou wilt, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and made him clean. That was something that no one wanted to do. Nobody was to touch the leper, because you cannot take that which is clean and touch the unclean and make it clean. Brother Doug sent me a picture the other day of Boaz out there playing in the mud. And that little boy, he had mud from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He had it on his face. He had it on his hands. He had it all over him. And you know what I can promise you? Is that he didn't go in and start touching all of mama's dishes to make them clean. No, taking those muddy hands and touching clean dishes would have made them dirty dishes. It's like I said, there's some things that I cannot understand, that I cannot explain. I just know that they're factual. But there is something about the Master that is not like that. For he can go and he being clean, he can touch the unclean, and the unclean become clean. You know, there have been times that I have walked into the restroom and looked at that bar of soap, and that bar of soap looks almost black because somebody that had been out there working on the vehicle or something and had grease and grime all over their hands, and it sudsed their hands all up and then stuck the bar back up there and then washed their hands. Their hands come away clean, but the bar is dirty. And so you take that bar and you stick it back under the water and you wash it off and stuff. So what I'm saying is I don't even have the ability to take my dirty hands and touch a clean bar of soap and make it clean. But there's something about the master that defies all of these things. And that the master can touch even the things that are unclean and can cleanse them and make them whole. And so such is the case with sin. In that born in sin and shapen in iniquity or in lawlessness. The laws of sin is where that we live. And being in the law of sin, we just grow worse and worse. And that we are shapen in lawlessness. And Paul even said, the things that I would do are the things that I don't do. And the things that I should not do are the things that I find myself doing. Why? Amen. He said, because I am carnal. Amen. He was born in this world. He was shaped by this world. And he still had to deal with this nature called flesh. Amen. But he began to cry out and he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He began to say, I thank, amen, the Lord Jesus that he is able to do that. You didn't come to God clean. You didn't come to God in such a beautiful picture. You didn't come to God, amen, in kingly robes, but when God found you, you had been left on the side of the road. You had been left in your bloody garments. You had been left beaten and bloodied and bruised by the thieves of this world. For the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You had a rebellious nature upon you that could go around the world and back. Amen. You had a lying tongue, amen, with inside of you that you would rather tell a lie than tell the truth. Amen. You were deceptive. Amen. You had all kinds of issues. You had an anger problem about you. You had a pride factor about you. Amen. Thinking that you were the greatest thing that the world had to offer in all of these things. And the devil had lied to you and told you how beautiful, amen, and how good that you were. Oh, but when you came to Jesus and the Lord took the mirror of his word and put it up before you, you began to say, oh, wretched man that I am, is there any hope for me? I feel like I've gone too far. I feel like I've made too many mistakes. I feel like there's nothing for me to come about me. I feel like there is no hope in my life. I have messed myself up. I've turned the wrong way. I turned to the left and I should have turned right. Is there any hope for me? And you ask the Lord, God, if you can, you've got the power to do it. And he said, I will. And he reached down and he touched you. I said, he touched you when the world would have nothing to do with you. The power and the Spirit of God reached down and touched your heart and spirit.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many times did you walk away? How many times did you falter and fall? How many times did you fail him? I'm telling you today, it was not a pretty picture. But I thank God that my God is in the business of taking ugly things and making them beautiful. Amen, amen. Even as Psalms David said, amen, that he is able to beautify the meek with salvation. Amen, I'm telling you, he has the power to set every mankind free. He's got the power to deliver the alcoholic, to deliver the drug addict. He's got the power to deliver the profane individual. He's got the ability to set straight the crooked individual. How does he do it? I cannot explain it other than he has the power, and he can, and he will, and he's willing to do it for whosoever will.
Oh, let's stand and love him here today.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's love him here this morning.
Praise God. Luke wrote it and he said that there was a man that was full of leprosy. He was messed up. He was marred. He had no hope. He was not proud of where he was or who he was. I don't have time to go into it, but in all reality, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. It does have a rather tragic end, but it's a beautiful story. Luke identified the leper as Simon. The same one that Mark was talking about, Luke identified him as Simon the leper. Jesus reached out and touched and made him whole. When I look at that word whole, it means just like new. Where there was no nose, he now has a nose. He now has ears. He now has fingers. His skin is like baby skin. His facial features and everything is back. He's brand spanking new. Matthew, Mark, and John later recorded that there was a supper that was going on at Simon the leper's house. There Jesus sat, and here comes a woman with an alabaster box. And there they were. I don't believe it was Simon a leper. I believe that was the identification tag that they used, because Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Jesus, Judas, Peter, John, James, Bartholomew, all of them are in this house. That's not going to happen in there with a leper. He was a leper. It's the identification factor. But Luke's got something greater to say. Luke said, being in the house of Simon the Pharisee, came a woman with an alabaster box. Luke changes it. He's not a leper, but he's become a Pharisee. And Luke begins to explain the mental mindset of this individual. Simon began to murmur and say, why wasn't this sold and given unto the poor? Mark said that the disciples began to murmur among themselves. Matthew said that even Judas himself. Luke called him Simon Iscariot. One translation. In other words, equating him to Judas's dad. You see, when God beautifies the meek with salvation, when God does a miracle in our lives, I feel the Lord here right now. When God performs a miracle in our life, it's so easy to forget where God brought you from. But when you were just a wretched sinner, Mark said that the leper came to Jesus, and falling on his knees, he reached and cried, God, I need a miracle. I'm on a death sentence. I have no hope. I need a miracle. Would you give me a miracle? And Jesus reached down and said, I will, and picked him up. And now Luke said that he's a Pharisee. Three and a half years maximum. Maximum. Simon forgets who he was. Now he's somebody. Now he's somebody. You know what the difference is? Simon is a leper. You knew you needed a miracle. And as a Pharisee, you don't even know that you need God. And Jesus did his very best to touch Simon again. He reached for him. Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. When I came into your house, you did not greet me with a kiss. You did not wash my feet. This woman has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and to wipe them with her hair. Jesus had not changed. Simon had changed. I want to have that tender heart. And I don't get to the place that I say, God, I'm mature in you now, and I've got your word, and I'll just figure it out on my own. I want to make sure that I take that mentality of I am nothing. And I fall up on my knees again and again and again and say, God, I need you. I still need the Master. I still need the Master. How many times have I had to say, God, I haven't been what I needed to be. Would you touch me? If you would touch me, I could be whole again. And with tender, loving compassion, he says, I will. We have not an advocate, or we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for us all. For us all. For us all. Who was John writing to? Well, he told you right there in John, 1 John 2 and 1. My little children. Jesus said that except you become as one of these, except that you become as one of these. I don't ever want to have that mindset of I'm mature and grown up and I have need of nothing. Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, he said, I see everything that you're doing, I just have somewhat against you. You're doing everything right, but you just don't love. You've lost your first love. Today the Master, because that he's the Master, can say, you know what, just go on. And in my mind, and in probably in all of our minds today, you wouldn't have had as much mercy with yourself. You don't even have as much mercy with your kids. You don't have as much mercy with your spouse. You wouldn't have as much mercy with your boss. But over and over again, we come back to him and said, Lord, if thou will. And he says, I will. I will. And the Master touches you again. And so somebody says, why? Why would he do that? I can't explain to you A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I just simply know it works. Why would he do that? I can't explain it to you. All I know is that he does. And he's here this morning to do the same thing. He's reaching out to touch you. The Master. The Master of the universe, the Master of creation, the Master of time, the Master of all things, the Master who knows not how to do anything but good, He's reaching this morning. Would you reach out to him today? Hallelujah.